Ari, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Now, is this an example of the revised Best Picture initiative requiring films to adhere to new inclusion thresholds succeeding?
Can you explain what that is? I don't even know what that is.
Fair enough. I'm aware that there was a new initiative kind of for the Best Picture after a bit of hubbub around, you know, inclusivity and diversity, which is requiring them to adhere to certain thresholds in order to, I guess, be eligible for Best Picture. Yeah, I mean, I'm it's a big question. I totally understand. With Nomadland winning the award, with Chloe Zhao in particular winning the award, being quite a huge thing as the first woman of color, what do you think this kind of means for big screen storytelling in the future? Can we expect to see the stories from typically underrepresented groups being kind of shown at the forefront?
Well, I'm not sure. I think the kind of sociological case that people are trying to make out of this requires, you know, it depends upon much more kind of evidence than just one film and one person winning an award. I think it's also notable, you know, the key kind of question around something like this is, for whom is it important and why, which is a critical question, and you kind of answered that. But one of the kind of axioms of film studies is to look at the work first. So we look at the film first and you know, you then think about the person who made it looking at the film. And if you actually look at Nomadland as a film, you see a deeply reactionary and conservative work. You know, it's a very kind of conservative film, reimagining social and political crises in terms of individual morality and choice, which is, you know, a typical kind of thing that Hollywood does. It's called Burbanking, where you take a broad kind of political issue and then turn it into something that's about, you know, individual metaphysics or spirituality or something like that. And I think this made me realize that the most important part of Zhao's identity isn't as a woman of color or even as an American, but it's as an aristocrat. You know, Zhao's from a very kind of wealthy background. And I think it's quite clear when you watch the film, you know, power always sides with power. And in our kind of world, true power resides with wealth. So that's the interesting kind of point. I don't think this shows any kind of empowerment at all. It shows that, you know, the Academy has made a decision to kind of change, you know, the criteria with which they evaluate films, which is fine, in response to certain kind of social pressures, which is also good. I mean, it's good that they kind of make those changes. But the idea that Zhao's win is somehow empowering in any real material sense, rather than just as a kind of spectacle of empowerment, is undercut by the content of the film itself, and also by, you know, the limitations of just looking at one kind of award. You can't really study individual films or individual award ceremonies as indices of sociological change. You need to look at a broad kind of sample.
Right. So, I mean, like, in terms of kind of like inclusivity, for, you know, women and people of color, how large of a role do you think kind of class plays into it as well? Because you did mention that, you know, she is from quite a wealthy background.
Well, I think I think class is the form of identity that trumps all others. And if you look historically, like I said, if you look historically, kind of wealth has always sided with wealth throughout history in terms of, you know, political movements. And so, you know, in the case of Chloe Zhao, as a kind of, you know, from an extremely wealthy background, making this very conservative film, it's not really kind of surprising. I mean, there is definitely an intersection, and there needs to be a kind of intersection between struggles against all forms of inequality. And that includes class inequality, race inequality, inequality around gender and sexuality. So they're all part of the same struggle. But I'll just contest that someone winning an Oscar is any indication at all of any real kind of empowerment for anyone other than her.
Right. So, I mean, like, on kind of the topic of empowerment, while you do, you know, of course, make the point of, like, while, you know, she may be the first woman of color, she does still come from quite a wealthy background. But kind of looking at like how this might impact people going into the industry do you think we can expect to see kind of directors, producers, and screenwriters from minority groups kind of securing these roles in productions with like larger budgets and stuff now that we're seeing, you know, commendation for people from minority groups?
Probably. I mean, I imagine that that'll be the case. I think if you look at it'll especially be the case because Hollywood, like any big budget, any big kind of machine, likes to co-opt social movements and discourses and turn them into kind of profit for themselves. So if they're able to look around and see that, you know, this illusion of inclusivity is something that will kind of gather more popularity and generate greater profits, then they'll definitely do it. And I think that's, you know, it doesn't kind of surprise me at all. Like, yeah, I think we can expect to see that. And, you know, that's good. I think it's good if there is more, you know, more kind of diversity in anything makes it better because it increases the complexity of the thing. It's a bit of a biological kind of truth. But yeah, I think the key thing to remember when we're talking about Hollywood films is that we're talking about commercial films. The point of commercial media is to generate a profit, and they're going to do whatever they can to generate a profit. What we're seeing now is a similar phenomena that we see where advertisers like Pepsi or, you know, other kinds of brands have, you know, for years been trying to kind of cash in on different social movements and co-opting those into their own kind of brand. And so I think, you know, I think we will see that. If you're talking about actual kind of inequality and you know, if you're really struggling for kind of equality, then I don't think Hollywood films is the place to kind of look for that to happen. But, you know, it's definitely true that it will potentially you know, make a difference to individuals who want to go into kind of film or something like that. But what that has to do with broader questions of equality or inequality, it's a little unclear.
Right, of course. Well, Ari, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really great having you on to talk about this.
Thank you.